Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, your best opportunity is right now. So we invite your call at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go direct to our phone lines today and talk with Calvin, listening to us in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Calvin. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
My question is about salvation. I've heard people say, well, once a person's saved, they know for sure they're in death in their mind. I on several occasions have thought, or I'm assuming or sure that I'm saved. But what keeps going through my mind, as a saved person, why do I keep turning to my sinful ways? There is several sins that, you know, I've heard people say, well, if you practice the same sins over and over, then you might need to question your salvation. But there's a couple that I have weaknesses at. It's like on weekends or when I'm alone, that's when it draws me most. But during the week, I keep drawing myself to pray, to spend time with God, have a personal relationship with Him. I read my Bible on a regular basis. But it's like on weekends, I fall back into that same old won't question my salvation again. Well, you're starting that same old sin addiction again. Then right back to Monday, I want to spend time with Him. I don't understand.
Well, Calvin, I think the simple answer to your question is this. We live in a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. So everything that you see and everything that you encounter, television-wise, you know, billboards, all of this sort of stuff, they just lay out a bunch of temptations right in front of you. They just put it right there for you to see. And then the second thing is you still have flesh. So, Calvin, when you came to Christ, when you responded to that gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believed in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, then you were made alive in Christ. You went from death to life, and then God sent His Spirit to take up residence in you. So your spirit was reborn. But this new you, this new creation, is housed in a body of flesh. And the flesh is opposed to the things of the Spirit. They are at two opposite ends of the spectrum. So what the Spirit desires is the very opposite thing that the flesh desires. So you lived for a long time in the flesh, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes. So.
Yes, sir, I did.
So that flesh responded to those temptations, and that flesh gained a sense of gratification from those temptations and those sinful actions. Well, the flesh doesn't change, does it?
Nope.
No.
It's
so,
a battle every day.
So your flesh is going to continue to want those sinful behaviors. So you've got the world that's putting those temptations in front of you, and you've got the flesh saying yes, yes, yes. But here's the good news, Calvin. You're not your flesh. That's not who you are. You're a child of the living God. God's Spirit has come to live inside of you, and you don't have to give in to those desires. Now, here's the reason many of us do, and you know, I hope I can clearly communicate this to you so you really understand what I'm saying, is oftentimes we think, since we're Christians, we ought not have those fleshly desires, and that the flesh shouldn't be responding to those temptations that are out there in the world. That's unrealistic thinking. The flesh is always going to respond to the temptations that are out there in the world. You're not going to get rid of fleshly desires. the power that you have is to be able to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay.
And that's the reason, and I kept saying, you know, I've got to be a saved person, because why, what is it in me that keeps drawing me toward that personal relationship with Him, wanting to read the Bible, wanting to hear the Word, wanting that peace of mind? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it certainly isn't the flesh driving you to that.
No.
Because everything you're going to find in the Word of God is opposite of what the flesh wants. The flesh doesn't want to trust Jesus. The flesh doesn't want to submit. The flesh wants its own way. And yet you have the Spirit of God living in you, Calvin, that is driving you toward the things of the Lord.
And it ran across my mind the other day, and I thought, man, what a blessing this will be when God comes back and takes me out of this mess. Because that's all this world is temptation.
It really is, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better, does it?
No, it's getting worse. It's getting worse.
Yeah. The Bible talks about light and darkness, and it's this world operates under the veil of darkness, under the blanket of darkness, and the world likes it that way. It doesn't want to be exposed, and yet it seems like the more and more we live, and as time passes, the world is getting more blatant with its temptations. It used to be you had to go seek that stuff, and now it's just delivering it right to your doorstep. You don't even have to get out of your house to be tempted. It's just right there. And so it's easier and easier to fall prey to the temptations of this world. But remember, Calvin, your identity is a child of God. You are not what your flesh desires. That is such a critical truth to grab hold to. Your flesh may be desiring pornography. Your flesh may be desiring those things, but that's not your identity. Your identity is a child of God. And as you recognize that you're a child of God, that you are a child of the light, then you can start to say, hey, well, I don't really belong in the darkness. I don't belong to those things over there, and
amen,
I just don't want
to
do it. So keep resting. Keep resting in who you are in Christ, and you will see the desires of they're never going to go away. You will see the strength of them start to diminish. And that's powerful.
I tell you one thing. There's some sins I may go some days without doing. But there's one thing every day that I don't go without, and that's listening to y'all guys. I listen to y'all every evening. I mean, y'all are, and I get emotional thinking about it, but y'all are very blessed to me. Well, y'all feel my spirit, and y'all get me through every day.
Well, Calvin, bless your heart.
Thank you all.
Thank you for letting us be a part of your life, and my goodness, thank you for being a part of ours. That's just what this radio broadcast is all about, and whatever we can do to help you. Have you gotten a hold of our little CD, Drive the Stake, or my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace?
I have got your book, Simple Gospel, Simple Grace, and it helps me. I mean, I was saved, but it keeps me on the right path. I mean, it is. And I have told several people about y'all's radio station. Y'all need to listen to these people. I mean, they're a blessing. It ain't just something you listening to. You can tell God is working through them.
Well, Calvin, keep spreading the word. We sure appreciate that. And
yes, we do.
Keep resting in Jesus Christ, the one who is alive, living in you. Listen to his voice saying to you that you belong to him, that you truly are a child of God. And as you hear that, and as you rest in that, and as you act on that, you will be saying no to those temptations that are out there in the world.
And don't y'all ever go off a radio station. I don't know what I'd do then.
Well, we have no plan to. We're going to keep going as long as the Lord makes it available, okay?
All right, and hey, God's blessing y'all in many ways.
Well,
anyways,
well, come to Dallas and see us. We'd love to see you, okay?
Call anytime, man.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks, Calvin. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Cleburne, Texas, and talk with Sylvia listening to us on The Word. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Hi. My question is, I'm currently engaged to someone that I have been questioning his character on the basis of he claims to be a Christian. We go to Sunday, we go to church every Sunday, but there's times that I feel and things that I've heard him say to me, so I have this feeling of that he wishes ill for me. Like, why? And to be a Christian, is that something that could happen where he wishes ill things for me? Like, they, you know, say for instance, I play an extra activity sport and or outdoor sports, and for some reason every time I come off the field, it's like he had mentioned to me at one time saying, you know, I had to say a prayer for you because I didn't want you to get upset. It looked like whatever this whatever was going on the field, it looked as if though you were getting upset, and that's just not my character. So I'm judging him by the things he's saying and wondering, you know, here you're a Christian, but it's coming across to me that you're wanting me to get upset, or, you know, it's just, it always seems like at the end of the day, it's like somewhere, somehow he's trying to, I guess, get me upset or find some reason for me to be upset. And so I take that in a way, in a defensive way, and thinking that he wishes ill for me, or I don't know what the other word is.
Yeah, well, I think I understand what you're saying there, Sylvia. And I'll just say this, you know, God isn't the author of fear. And obviously you're engaged to this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have some red flags. You have some serious red flags going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wise, you're going to heed that warning. Obviously there were things that attracted you to this guy. Maybe he was a hunk or something. I don't know. Maybe he made you laugh. Maybe, you know, there was something that initially attracted you to him, but in the course of that relationship, you are seeing some things that are causing concern. And I wouldn't go a step further in this relationship without having those things addressed. And deal with them now. That's why you get engaged, so you can really get to know one another and find out if you're actually on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, the wisest thing to do is to move on, is to say, hey, there's red flags, and if God's giving us red flags, then we need to stop and move on and just go our separate ways. So I just encourage you, Sylvia, to step back and take a good objective look as to what this relationship really is.
Right, and I do hear you with everything. I think where I have been with it is this really him, or is this the enemy just trying to make me think it's him? And he, you know, and but I don't want to be.
Here's the deal, Sylvia. Don't.
Okay.
Don't worry about all that. You might go a little crazy trying to figure all that out.
Okay.
But here's what you do know. You have some fear inside of you, and you're just cautious about things. That should tell you something right there. Just go on that. And I would sit down with him and say, hey, I've got some crazy fear, some crazy things. It sounds like with some of the comments that you make, you're wishing ill for me, and I don't get that. And so explain, let me know. I want to hear from you.
Right. And is that what that sounds like? Because that's what it is coming across to me, what it sounds like. You're needing to pray for me because of what? Because you think I'm going to get upset in a game or something, but knowing myself, that's just not me. That's just not my character.
Well,
and
I would take that to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take that to them, Sylvia, and you know, maybe it's something simple, maybe it's a misunderstanding, but maybe there's something, you know, going on inside of you that really is warning you. We've been in this ministry for a long time. Richard has counseled with so many people in marriage, premarital counseling, and that sort of thing, and I've done a bunch of that as well. And here's what I've found, that anytime somebody ignores the warning signs and proceeds, goes ahead and gets married, that couple usually has trouble.
Okay.
So that's just our experience speaking, and we don't want you to have trouble.
Yeah, deal with it now. You don't have to be making accusations, but you do need to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, very much so. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Sylvia. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. And if we can help you further, let us know, okay? We'd be glad to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
844-322-2742. We have some time on the clock. Open lines. Again, 844-322-2742. Also want to remind you that we continue to make available the study guide that accompanies Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, for a gift of any amount this month. And through the study guide, you're going to discover the foundational truths of the gospel to help you move confidently into the new covenant and all that it holds for believers. So click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone 844-412-2742 and speak with our operator. Again, it's donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can contribute by phone at 844-412-2742. We want to keep up the good work and keep the message going.
Yes, indeed. Let me read a passage, and then we're going to go to our phone calls again. It's in 1 Timothy. This month is today is the start of the a new month,
yes,
February.
Right.
And our theme for the month is mercy. So last month we talked about hope. This month we're talking about mercy. Paul was a guy that knew a little bit about mercy, and he wrote about that to Timothy in his first letter. So in verse 16 of chapter 1, he said this, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So Paul is giving this whole scenario to Timothy about his past life, how he was a persecutor of the church, how he blasphemed the name of God, all of these things. And in looking at all of that, he says, I was the chief of sinners, but I received mercy. What a statement to make. And there was the longest time that Paul believed he didn't need mercy. And then when he met Jesus on that road to Damascus, everything became clear to him. Mercy is what he needed. That's what we all need. And that's what God wants to deliver. That's what he wants to dispense to us through Jesus Christ. And so this month we're going to take a deep dive into mercy, exactly what that is, how God delivers it to us, and what that means to say, but I have received mercy. It's going to be a powerful month. This is one of the most moving words in the New Testament, the Old Testament is as well. It's the very act that God does to apply grace in our lives. That's what one commentator said. It is the application of grace. That's why this is a powerful word. And by the time that this month ends, I want you as a listener to be able to say with Paul, but I received mercy. And be so glad that you did. Well, let's go to Kurt, who's listening to us in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. How about you today?
Doing good. It's been a while since I talked to y'all. I was going to actually make a point and use the radio broadcast to hopefully reach some people and get y'all's 2 cents worth on it. But I listen to a lot of stuff about the Bible, Scripture, Jesus, whether it be radio, TV, Internet. And it's really disheartening to see how many false prophets are out there and how many people are out there just destroying the word and misleading people.
Well, there, Kurt, there are a lot of those voices out there. There are voices saying that godliness is a means to financial gain. There's that whole group of people. There's a lot of folks that are just dressing pop psychology in Christian garments. They're not really giving a message about Jesus, about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. They're just telling us about how we can have, you know, the best life and how we can be successful. They're just basically motivational speakers using Christian right. language to promote that. So there's lots and lots of messages out there that really don't have the full weight of the gospel attached to them, and we need some discernment. The right. story is about Jesus. The subject is Jesus. A pastor friend of mine passed away about a little over a week ago, and he had a saying that he had in his office, and you know, lots of people are posting this on their Facebook pages, and it was this: the subject is Jesus. That's the gospel. Right. The subject is Jesus. And if somebody isn't preaching Jesus, then they're preaching a false gospel. They may right. be preaching something that might be helpful on a soulish level, on a physical level, but when it gets to the deep things of God, if they're not preaching Jesus, they're missing the boat. He alone is the message, and he alone right. is worthy to be lifted up so that men can be drawn unto him.
Right. I totally agree with you. It's just, like I said, it's just disheartening to hear all those messages out there. And my wife asked me why I listened to some of them. And I want to, you know, it's good to know your enemy. So I want to know what's being preached out there and what's being taught. And I just pray that everybody, whatever they hear, that they hold it up to Scripture and see how it measures up, because you can't go wrong if you match it up with the Word of God.
You're absolutely right, Kurt. That is our standard. That's where we go. And, you know, I think we do, as a church, as individuals, if we would just ask the Lord for discernment, I think right. we would have that prayer answered, and we would see how Satan has really covered over the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, Kurt, thanks for your heart of discernment and your desire to help people see that the story really is about Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Kurt.
Well, let's go to Denver and talk with Beverly, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Beverly.
Hello. Well, thank you for your time.
Well,
God bless you.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. Yes, as I was telling, you know, the sister there, you know, that I'm calling in for prayer because, you know, the Lord has chose me, you know, over through the years. And, you know, maybe there was times when I wasn't so on fire. But, I mean, you know, being with the Lord, you know, being his friend like that, that he has opened up my eyes, gives me the wisdom and the knowledge that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I put nobody above him. I'm not ashamed of him. Wherever I go, you know, I make that known, you know. And
well,
I
that's
say,
a beautiful you know, testimony, Beverly.
Yeah. And then also, too, you know, I go to the doctors and stuff like that, and, you know, they tell me, you must be doing something well. They says, because you're in perfect condition. And I say, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I said, if you're going to give anybody an A, I says, you know, a great, you know, I says, a great reward. I says, you give that unto God. He's deserving of it all.
Yes, indeed.
He's deserving of it all, you know. And I also want to thank him because my grandson, you know, he's 20 years of age. He was injured like 3 years ago, you know, in an automobile, you know. And anyway, his mom and his dad, you know, I thank God for their strength, you know.
Well, Beverly, let me just jump in. We've only got a few seconds, and let me just pray real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our sister Beverly. Thank you that you have saved her, that you have made her alive, and that you extend to her mercies that are new every day. And help her to continue to give thanks in all things, knowing that this is your will for her. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, we are out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And Beverly, thank you for calling as well. We will be back tomorrow for another edition for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.